prophecies of the cross, the preaching of Christ crucified according to the scriptures, a new book by Pastor Timothy Fan, now available at GodCenteredUniverse.com. That is GodCenteredUniverse.com.
O Holy Father in heaven, we praise you that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has opened his mouth in parables and has spoken wisdom sayings hidden from the foundation of the world. O Lord, you have told us, you have revealed to us the things which you call us to teach and recount to our children. The praises of our God, all of your wonders, the excellencies of our God, and all of your mighty works. O Lord, we will not hide them from our children, but we will teach them diligently. We will tell them of your glory and all of the praises of the works that you have wrought in the gospel of Jesus Christ. O our God, please give us courage that we would not be like Ephraim and so would not turn back in the day of battle. For even though Ephraim was equipped with the bow, they turned back and fled in the day of battle. O Lord, let us not be like our fathers, who forgot your ways and forsook you. But instead, O God, please, let us declare to the next generation the sovereign glory of our sovereign Christ, that they may tell their children that your name would be feared and glorified in the coming generation. O Lord, we bow down before your throne with fear and trembling, because there are myriads upon myriads of angels who bow down before the majesty and greatness of the light and the fire that flows from your throne. Father, please let the day of the Son of Man draw near. We pray in the holy name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. This Lord's Day, as we allow the Lord to remind us to be ready. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21, verses 20 through 24. This is the word of the Lord. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. And we tremble joyfully as it. God is bringing near the end of all things. This began with the desolation of Jerusalem through her destruction under the Romans in AD 70. And it shall reach its completion when the mystery of Jerusalem's final judgment and redemption is revealed at last. These things are not merely symbolic, but historical. For just as Jerusalem was burned and raised under the Romans in real history, so too shall she be visited by God on the last day in real history. And just as Noah's flood covered the entire globe in a real historical event of divine vengeance, so too shall God's fiery wrath consume all nations at the very end of the age. God's wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem only, but also on all of the Gentile nations. The end may indeed draw near for Jerusalem, but such an end only brings near the judgment of all nations. We then declare that the final judgment for all peoples everywhere now draws near. Luke 21:20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. And Luke 21:28. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Historical time is short. All of history hastens now towards the end. Life cannot be a simple mixture of work and play for the elect of God, because we are travailing under many persecutions now, and the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now, and men have grown so violent and wicked in their idols and sins that the very ground on which they tread, which God created to be good, cannot suffer to bear them up much longer. Every single day now, the volcano of divine vengeance threatens to erupt. Every hour now, the fire of God's jealousy is kindled against the wickedness of those who inhabit the earth. Every single second now, the hand of God is poised to shake the heavens and the earth with one final and complete shaking. O precious Christian, beloved of the Lord, are you staying awake through the watches of this long, dark night? Are you watching carefully for the coming of the day of the Lord? In all of your tears, are you trusting that God's redemption for you is near? For is not the night already far spent, and the day very near? Is not the end of all things quite near? Therefore, you who are beloved of the Lord, be sober and watchful in your prayers. Do not merely listen to the Holy Scriptures as they prophesy concerning the times of the end, but also obey those things that are written in them. For, dear Christian, you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. You must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Yet you do know this, since the Scriptures declare it urgently, that the time draws near. But how can we know these things with certainty? Even though we cannot know the day or the hour when these things will come about, should we not believe that they will indeed come about? And should not our belief be with a sure certainty? That is, we should live according to this knowledge of the coming judgment with such faith in God that when unbelievers watch us, they will be compelled to ask concerning us, why are the Christians so certain that these things shall come to pass? We know these things by faith in God's Word. For since the Word of God reveals its prophecies concerning these things, we know that they surely must be fulfilled. Luke 21:20-22 again. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Our assurance comes not from ourselves, but from the faithfulness of the Holy Scriptures. If God has written these things down, then they surely must be fulfilled. And He has indeed written them down, even in the scrolls of the prophets and the apostles, the summing up of which is written by God in the scroll of the book of Revelation, Revelation 5:1. And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. God has spoken, and His spoken word cannot be false, since it is impossible for God to lie. But God also has written His word in His holy Scriptures. And the Scriptures, according to John 10:35, cannot be broken, since whatever God writes down is true and perfect and certainly then shall be fulfilled. Luke 21:22-24 again. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. That all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. All of the prophecies of God's written word must be fulfilled. Yet this will mean terrible days for mothers who are pregnant and for mothers who are nursing babies in those times, all earthly security will be taken away. The safety of the womb and the quietness of the nursery will be disrupted by the clanging of swords and the devouring flames of the city set ablaze. All common symbols of nurture and peace will be destroyed. The whole of the city of Jerusalem will be terror, with her once quiet streets now filled with shrieks of terror and wails of bereavement and moans of horror, for all of the prophecies concerning her judgment and desolation must be fulfilled. That is, Jerusalem will be made desolate. Isaiah 1:7, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land and your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And according to the prophet Jeremiah, I will take up a weeping and wailing for the mountains and for the dwelling places of the wilderness, a lamentation, because they are burned up, so that no one can pass through, nor can man hear the voice of the cattle. Both the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the field have fled. They are gone. I will make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a den of jackals. I will make the cities of Judah desolate, without an inhabitant. And as Ezekiel the prophet foretells this coming desolation of Jerusalem, Ezekiel 24:21, speak to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will profane my sanctuary. Your arrogant boast, the desire of your eyes, the delight of your soul, and your sons and daughters whom you left behind shall fall by the sword. And again, according to the word of the prophet Zephaniah concerning Jerusalem, Zephaniah 1:2, I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. However, it is not only the biblical prophecies concerning the coming judgment of Jerusalem that must be fulfilled. Instead, there are many scriptural prophecies concerning God's judgment of all nations, which also must be fulfilled. For as it is written, the Lord shall summon all nations to judgment. Isaiah 10:12, therefore it shall come to pass, when the Lord has performed all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, that he will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his haughty looks. And as it is written in the Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32:41-42, if I whet my glittering sword and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh with the blood of the slain and the captives from the heads of the leaders of the enemy. And again, as Obadiah prophesies, Obadiah 15:16, for the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. And yet again, according to the word of the prophet Zephaniah, therefore wait for me, Zephaniah 3:8. Therefore wait for me, says the Lord, until I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. We must warn the world then that the day of God's wrath is near. Today's Jerusalem, steeped as she is in her secularism, is not at all under God's favor. Instead, on account of her academic pride and love of money and Darwinian gods and brutal abortions and love of pleasure and stiff-necked rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ, she is only becoming riper and riper for judgment. An Islamic mosque casts a satanic shadow of Antichrist over her head. But her real danger is the way in which she continues to this very day to mock Jesus Christ and to scorn God's holy commandments. Jerusalem's desolation came in the days of Rome, but her future final judgment is still yet to come. At the same time, the Gentile nations, likewise, can make no true claim whatsoever to the favor of God, since they too are living in utter rebellion against God's holy laws and statutes. They like to eat, drink, and be merry, and yet still claim that their wanton pleasures are all given to them because they are under God's grace and thus His special favor. But they do not realize that they are actually fattening themselves for the day of slaughter. For whenever they revere Eastern idols and despise biblical authority and defile their bodies through immodesty of dress and flaunt homosexuality in the streets and disobey parents and indoctrinate children, even little children, in sin through the public schools, and still claim the favor of God for themselves, they deceive themselves in their blasphemies. The truth is that the wrath of God against them is ready, even now, to flatten their cities with one great final earthquake, and to purge their memory from the earth with one great final fire. O Church of God, you must remember that John Bunyan called the pilgrim's hometown, from which every true pilgrim had to flee, the city of destruction. He named it that because Babylon is where the sinner is born, and Babylon shall be destroyed with a great destruction. Are you then willing to flee this city of destruction? Have you let go of your earthly possessions? And have you released your heart's grip on earthly things? Is your soul set upon the gains of Babylon? And so building your own little paradise here amongst the gardens of Babylon? Or are you crucified to Babylon? And is Babylon crucified to you, such that you no longer live for anything in this city of destruction, but instead have the eyes of your heart fixed on the promise of your future entrance into the celestial city of Christ? O Church, you must flee the city of destruction. You also must remember Lot's wife and never look back. For it is better to be a lonely, weeping pilgrim, poor and persecuted and harassed by Satan's soldiers at every turn, yet still making the long, painful journey to the city of God, than to turn back to the city of destruction and face all of the judgments of eternal hellfire that are sure to come upon it. O dear Church, look up to the skies. Seek those things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth, for the things of the earth are perishing even now. And the desolation of Babylon is very near, since the judge of the whole earth is very near, even right at the door. Yet since we are speaking of real future historical events, what will these things actually be like? What will it be like when the end of all things finally comes? The scripture says it will be so very terrifying that the hearts of all men will faint with fear. Luke 21:25-26. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing from fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Our Lord Jesus gives his disciples the final discourse on the times of the end, and it is not at all easy to follow this discourse, for our Lord moves from prophecies concerning events in the apostles' lifetime to prophecies concerning events at the end of time, and then back to the apostolic age, and then back to the end of time, and all without alerting us to where the transitions are. So it's not at all easy to follow, but it seems he speaks now of the time of the end, when he speaks of signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. Luke 21:25, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Why did the Lord our God create the sun, the moon, and the stars? Were they not created by him on the literal fourth day of creation, in part, to be signs of his providential rulership over history? Genesis 1:14-16, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light, that's the sun, to rule the day, and the lesser light, that's the moon, to rule the night. He made the stars also. The sun, moon, and stars were created by God to mark signs and seasons and days and years. They are thus the markers of time in general, but also of exceptional times in specific. For the earth revolves around the sun once per year in a general fashion, but the full shaking of the heavenly bodies is reserved only for the final judgment, and thus will serve as a great sign of the time of the end. Job 9:5-7, he removes the mountains, and they do not know when he overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth out of its place, and its pillars tremble. He commands the sun, and it does not rise. He seals off the stars. And Isaiah 13:9-10, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it, for the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. And also Ezekiel 32:6-8, I will also water the land with the flow of your blood, even to the mountains, and the riverbeds will be full of you. When I put out your light, I will cover the heavens and make its stars dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon will not give her light. And the bright lights of the heavens I will make dark over you, and bring darkness upon your land, says the Lord God. And yet again, with the darkening of the sun, moon, and stars serving as a great sign of the final judgment. Joel 3:14-16, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake. But the Lord will be a shelter for His people and the strength of the children of Israel. We have never seen such things. No eye has ever witnessed such terrifying spectacles. And thus, when these things actually come about, the hearts of all men will grow faint with fear. Luke 21:26. Again, men's hearts failing them from fear. And the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. O dear brethren, our God shall not be mocked. Instead, when He comes to answer all of the scoffing and blasphemies of wicked men and brings them under His righteous judgments, Ezekiel 21:7 says, every heart will melt, all hands will be feeble, every spirit will faint, and all knees will be weak as water. And it will happen that the wicked shall fear day and night, and in the morning shall say, oh, that it were evening, and in the evening shall say, oh, that it were morning, because of the fear that will terrify their hearts. That's Deuteronomy 28:66-67. The wicked laugh now and mock now, but in the end they shall be terrified by God's holy nature. Revelation 6:12-17. I looked when He opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Precious brethren, it is good to fear God now, before it is too late. For the fear of the Lord is the only true fountain of life. There is no other fountain of life to be found in all of the world. And those who fear God now will enter into the glorious, unspeakable joys of the kingdom of heaven when Christ returns to earth. But those who refuse to fear Him now will faint from terror when He comes with His holy angels to cast them, body and soul, into the fires of His vengeance in hell. And so our God, who so loved the world that He gave the blood of His only begotten Son for the forgiveness of the sins of all who would receive Him, shall not be mocked. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shall not be mocked. What then shall become of God's saints, His children, who live under such great suffering now? They are already suffering so much. What should they think about these things that are about to come upon the earth? Luke 21, 27 through 28. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. The suffering saints of God should not dread these future events as if they too will suffer under God's vengeance, for they are washed in the blood of the Lamb and wear wedding clothes of white. Instead, they should be eager for these future events, and even, our Lord says, lift up their heads on account of them, for the Son of Man shall come to rescue them from their persecutions and their sorrows and their tribulations. Luke 21, 27 through 28 again. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. When the Son of Man comes to earth, how shall he come? We remember that when the apostles saw the Lord Jesus ascend into heaven, the angels who spoke with him told them that he would return in like manner. That is, they lifted up their heads to the clouds to see him ascend. And so the saints likewise shall lift up their heads to the clouds to see him descend when he returns. Daniel 7:13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And once more, Revelation 14, 14. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. This then is not at all our dread, for we are those who fear the Lord already, but rather our hope and our comfort. We look up and lift up our heads, since our redemption draws near. That is, if the stars begin to fall from their places in the sky, and the sun and moon begin to grow dark, and the seas begin to surge and roar, and thunders and lightnings come, and the heavens are shaken, and the earth quakes and totters, we shall not fear these things, for they are the harbingers of our final redemption. They tell us, like crocuses at the very beginning of spring, or like fig blossoms at the very start of summer, that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming to deliver us out of Babylon and to bring us into the Father's house of the eternal kingdom. So what then is our blessed hope? What is our most joyful thought? Is it not the hope that our God will come with vengeance and with his recompense, and thus come and save us? Is it not the coming of our good shepherd to bring his scattered sheep into the sheepfold of his eternal abode? Shall not he gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are nursing? O saints of the living God, lift up your heads. Look up to the heavens. You who are wounded and bereaved of father and mother and hated by the world, you who shed lonely tears on your pillow at night, your Lord Jesus shall come for you. He shall come, and your redemption shall be complete. And then you shall see your beloved ones again, those who have died in the Lord. And you shall know the mothering nurture of the New Jerusalem and the protective peace of the city of God. And then you shall look around cautiously for signs of those who once terrified you, but you shall never find them, for none of the wicked will be there. But the Lord's children shall be there, and the Lord's glory shall fill every space in heaven with the sweetness of Christ's aroma and the warm, splashing light of God. And we shall sing the words of Isaiah 25:8-9. Behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He has saved us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. And thus all will be joy and gladness and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Time, eternal, love, unceasing, God's praises, never ending, world without end. Amen. So as we now close and come to this holy table, we come looking up to the heavens, waiting for our final redemption. Even as we come remembering our redemption from slavery to sin, purchased for us by the blood of the Lamb. Before we come, here is the doxology. Praise be to God our Father, who is holy, and who shall not be mocked. Praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall come on the clouds in the Father's glory with the holy angels as the Son of Man. And praise be to the Holy Spirit, who comforts us in our lonely sufferings and teaches us by faith to lift up our heads since our redemption draws near.